Good evening, and welcome to The Pulse, your connection to the heartbeat of the medical community, bringing you the latest healthcare information, newest technology, and up-close and personal interviews with the physicians and employees who serve Summit Healthcare Regional Medical Center. I'm your host, Barbara Bruce, and thank you for joining us. Please keep in mind that whatever you hear tonight, if there's something that you find interesting and would like to listen to again, or you know someone that would benefit from it, let them know that this show is replayed in its entirety on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. on News Talk 970 KVWM and 1270 KDJI. It also streams during the show at 970kvwm.com, which means that you can listen to it from anywhere in the world. And this month is National Nutrition Month. And this is one of my favorite shows to do because we all have to eat. Now, it doesn't mean we all eat the right things, but every year Becky Moffitt comes back and she shares with us information to get us back on track. Welcome, Becky.
Thank you for having me, Barbara.
It's so good to have you. And you actually brought Stephanie McGinnis with you, who is an outpatient dietitian, registered dietitian, and I'm so excited to have her with us today. Welcome.
Thank you, Barbara.
You always bring good information, and all of us think that we really know things. We know there was, of course, the seven basic food groups, and then there's the food pyramid. Then we heard about the glycemic index, and today we aren't sure where we are. What should we be looking at, Becky?
Well, today, well, let me tell you, this month, the theme is get your plate in shape. And you've all heard about myplate.com or not .gov, is that right?
Choosemyplate.gov.
Okay.
That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much simpler. You just look at your plate, and you want half of it to be veggies, or at least fruit and veggies, and a fourth of it being meat, and a fourth of it to be the starch. And that gives you the approximate how much you should have. And it's so simple.
Well, it sounds very simple the way you just put it, because I can tell you that most of us have not adhered to that. Meat, as a matter of fact, has taken up more than half the plate. Am I correct?
Usually it's the center focus, I think, for a lot of people. That's how we grew up, meat and potatoes anyway, don't you think?
Absolutely. If not three-fourths of the plate, some of the steaks that they have.
And well, yeah, you were a rancher.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, my father actually is a rancher, and so meat is a big deal in my household growing up.
That makes a lot of sense, and I can tell you this. I grew up in the South where we had fried chicken every single Sunday, I think it was. And today, we know that other countries, they have used meat more like a condiment. And that really is what we should do. And I think just describing the plate, that makes a difference. Now, don't we also have to watch the size of that plate?
Yes, absolutely. Today they are selling plates that aren't plates, they're platters. And the guidelines that the American Dietetic Association has out now is suggesting that a plate should be about 9 inches. So what you would see as a standard white paper plate would be a good estimation of what 9 inches would be.
Yes, because we do try to stretch that a little bit. And, you know, I really have noticed that a lot of times at home, I will get some of my smaller plates to eat off of because you feel like you've eaten more when you clean up that plate. But if you get that big platter, and I hadn't thought of calling it a platter, but that's really true. The bigger the plate, the more that you do put on it. Another thing that I'm told, and you coming from a ranching background, I'm told that we should look at the size of our fist, and that should tell us just about how much meat we should actually consume.
Yes, it's 3 ounces, so about the size of your palm or a deck of cards or cell phones for younger, for the younger generation, the cell phone. It's about 3 ounces.
You know, it's great to learn what the young people can actually relate to, because Becky, you and I have been talking about it a whole different way.
A bar of soap.
Yes, indeed. And one thing that I find interesting, because I grew up where we ate a lot of vegetables, vegetables were the main thing. In fact, when people would go out to lunch, they would often order a vegetable plate. I learned to eat eggplant and all of those other things like turnip greens and collard greens, things that today we find out are extremely healthy for you.
Yeah, and growing a garden is the best way to get those veggies. I think growing up in the South, everyone has gardens, and so you get spoiled as far as the fresh produce. But I think for a lot of us, it takes an effort. We have to think about it and make sure that that's added to our plate. When my husband or most men that I know of, they cook a meal, it's just the meat and the starch.
They don't want all of those vegetables on there. And I can remember one president, I don't remember which one it was, but I can remember it being quite the item in the news, talking about him not liking broccoli.
Yeah, President Bush.
Yes. Was it President Bush?
I think so.
I think it was too. And I actually didn't grow up with broccoli or artichoke hearts or Brussels sprouts. When I got away from home and the first time I saw them, I had no idea what they were. I call the broccoli little trees and I call the Brussels sprouts baby cabbages. And I found out that I didn't really like the Brussels sprouts. But you know, the point is that you want a colorful plate, don't you?
It sure is a lot more appetizing when you add the color. I think that's probably the best thing. And I think most people like vegetables, they just don't think about it enough or make the effort, you know, take the time to include them when they plan their meals. So,
well, you mentioned gardens in the South, but I see a lot of people in the White Mountain area that have really taken to gardening. We know what is coming out of our garden. It's so nice to see, you know, you put the seed in the ground or the small plant and you water it, you nourish it, and you get to harvest it, and that makes it very, very special. And then you have a new understanding about what that food really is.
I think it's therapeutic to get out and dig in the ground. It's also a lot more affordable to eat vegetables that you grow yourself.
It is, and I think that's something that everybody is doing. And I noticed that we had a community garden start in Sholo. We also have had people around the area going to the Master Gardening courses at NPC. So there's a lot of people that are really paying attention to what you said. Not only is it economical, but what I've worried about of late is that if I'm watching my weight, I want to know what is in that food. And if you go out and eat, you're not sure, are they using margarine? Are they using real butter? You know, because that changes the caloric intake. And you just don't know how it's prepared, so you can only be sure if you prepare it yourself.
You can be sure when you go out to eat. They'll serve you on a platter, and they will use probably the most fattening things because we're hardwired to like it, like the taste of it.
And so, it's cheaper.
What do you mean by that?
When I say it's cheaper, I'm talking about some of the oils and some of the things that we eat.
Yes,
The more fattening things seem to be cheaper. Often you go to a workshop, for example, and I think people are better about this today than they have been, but you go in and they have all of the Danish there with coffee and orange juice and so forth. And so people gravitate to that when, in fact, that is the most unhealthy breakfast that you could possibly eat, less the orange juice, I would say.
Right. I think one thing that's also important, kind of going back to the vegetable part of, sometimes it can be daunting and people think that eating healthy is expensive and therefore they want to gravitate towards things like fast foods that you can get a sandwich for a dollar. And that is, you know, that can pull at you a little bit, but it doesn't necessarily have to be fresh vegetables that count. Frozen vegetables are another really good option to add to the plate. And if you do get canned, there's lower sodium options out there. So there's affordable produce and foods out there that are still healthy for you.
Absolutely. That's a good point of view. And that brings us to the grocery store when we're shopping for those things. I always read that the outer perimeter is where you're safest. Is that true?
Usually that is the case. Sometimes they have displays that you can't avoid, even if you try. But for the most part, that is so true. I also tell people when they are at the grocery store that all the food labels, the front of it is all advertising, you know, that you have to turn it over and pay attention to the food label itself.
I'm glad you brought up the labels, because nobody will shop with me because I'm a label reader. As I go through the store, I want to know what's in it. And we're all trying to be aware of sodium. Oh, yes, you can go with me then.
That's right.
This is good. But a lot of people look at you so funny, but really it matters. My husband years ago, my husband has passed away, but I remember when he had a heart attack. And then I became so very aware of what we were eating in our house. And I went out and I bought everything healthy, everything the book said. I went completely by the book. I was looking at the sodium content, which you mentioned, Stephanie. There's low sodium items. There's also things that you find that you should never eat. So you start looking for the MSG. You look for the high fructose corn syrup, which if I see it on there, I want to run away from it. Because I know that that just makes you want to eat just a little bit more and a little bit more. And then also, of course, when we think about some of those other additives, I think if you can't pronounce it, you shouldn't eat it.
I've heard advice like that before, definitely.
I don't worry as much about not pronouncing them as just, you know, cooking as much from scratch as possible. You know, the more natural it comes, probably the healthier it is. One thing we do tell people when they're looking at a food label, to look at the percentages on the right-hand side. It's much easier than trying to remember a number. And 5% is low and 20% is high. And sodium is one of the biggest things. The most important thing, I think, to look at a label, because foods with labels usually have salt. And so that is one thing I tell people to do. The other is, you know, we're advised to have half of our grains be whole grains. And, you know, you look at the front and it's, you know, whole wheat or whatever. But if the first ingredient is enriched flour, that's white flour. And so you want to add, you want to make sure it's a whole wheat flour is the first ingredient. So
those are all such good tips. And I had never heard that one about the percentage, because that is much easier. We try to remember those numbers, and it is very difficult when you don't deal with it on a daily basis. But I want to go back to that colorful plate, because growing up, when salad bars first started, my father would go through the line, and he always had the most beautiful plate. And it was the most beautiful plate because he put everything in a certain order. The colors were all there. It was as if someone prepared it for him. But he did such a great job, and we would all look at his salad and wish that he had made ours that way as well. But you need that variety. You mentioned that it's beautiful. It's much more appetizing that way. But the truth of the matter is, it also is much healthier.
Yeah, we all need more color in our diet. Not artificial like Skittles, but more color from vegetables and fruits.
And we do gravitate towards the sweet things. I can remember growing up, they would always tell us, you can't have dessert if you don't eat your food first. And so often we see people eating the dessert first. And I also had seen that if the first three ingredients are sugar, that you should not have it.
Well, there's always exceptions. You know, everything in moderation, I think. I do think that the darker the color that you have, the more color, generally speaking, you know, the more antioxidants you're going to get, and probably the more nutrition. There's exceptions, of course, but I tend to be more middle of the road and not extreme with anything. It's all about balance and moderation, and of course, how much you're having. Back to the smaller plate, I think we can make things look beautiful, and we'll always want to eat something that looks pretty, but we're also going to fill up whatever we have too. And you can have too much of a bad thing, and a little bit won't hurt you. You know, one or two pieces of dark chocolate, you know, that's moderation.
And dark chocolate is supposed to be good for you.
In moderation.
In moderation. And I love that you say that, because you have been saying that for years. You have not changed your stance on that. Every time you've come on, you say moderation. And I think how great it is that you can be that flexible, because it's hard for a lot of us. You know, we don't have that same feeling. It's all or nothing. when in fact life is much better when you are able to have a bit of balance. And I think that the confusion out there, like I said, we start off, we think back to the seven basic food groups, then we go to the pyramid and then glycemic index. People hear different things and they read different things. Every magazine that you get every month, somebody has an article in there about how we should eat. So we really are confused about it.
You're absolutely right. It is very confusing because there are so many messages out there. But I do think one important thing to always remember when it comes to eating is, first of all, you should always enjoy eating. Part of eating is enjoying what you're having. Kind of goes back to the moderation thing of having foods that you love, even if they're not quote-unquote healthy, in moderation. But another thing that I think we've forgotten about is listening to our own selves, our own bodies, and listening when we're full or when we're hungry, or truly satisfied. I think that is a very important component as well.
I think we're used to eating until we're stuffed rather than eating till we're no longer hungry.
That's true, because I've heard that it takes 20 minutes for your stomach to tell your brain that it's no longer hungry.
That's right. Stop. I'm done.
That's something I personally am working on. If I'm eating something good, I don't want to stop. But, you know, if I tell myself if I'm still hungry, you know, in 10 or 20 more minutes, then I can come back and have a little more. But usually it's just brain hunger, just wanting to, you know, because it's so good. So I do think giving yourself 20 minutes is a great idea.
But you give yourself permission, and I think that probably makes it easier. If I am still hungry, then I can come back and have some more, rather than the huge bowl of ice cream that's sitting before us. A small bowl would be fine. And if you do wait, generally you're not hungry. If you've been at a restaurant, as a matter of fact, and the waitress is real busy and you order dessert, if she comes back longer than 20 minutes, I can tell you that generally you don't want the dessert anymore.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gray area. You know, we all think we're going to go on a diet tomorrow and then we want whatever we can't have. And a lot of people are all or nothing. You know, I can't have any of this, or they assign moral issues. You know, this is a good food or a bad food. And I think we should get away from that.
I like that too, because I think that the guilt is not something that we really need. I love that Stephanie says that we need to enjoy our food, because a lot of our culture is based around the socialization of having food, sharing, breaking bread together. It's something that we do, and you don't want to take away from it. Now, this year, I'm sure that you ladies have been watching this, because I think all America has been paying attention. Dr. Oz has had the Transformation Nation, where he's trying to get people to be aware that they need to lose at least 10 pounds. 10 pounds can increase your lifespan. So he partnered with Weight Watchers to move this forward. And he's been bringing on different recipes that can work for people. And I know that you meet with people at the hospital on a regular basis, people that their lives really depend on how they eat. So how do you help them have a lifestyle change?
It's a good question. I think, first of all, 10 pounds is reasonable, and it's doable, and usually it's all people need to lose to make a significant difference in their health. And I think if we break it down, quite often when I have someone come in my office, I do a lot of listening, and I try to have the patient or the client set their own goals, what they think they can do, and and to maybe make some priorities. I think I just help them do that. So does that answer your question?
It does, because you have such a calming voice. You have such a calm demeanor. And most of us, when we sit down knowing that we're going to have that lifestyle change, we are just, I'm sure our blood pressure goes up. We're concerned that we're having to give up everything in life. And I once heard, by the yard it's hard, but by the inch it's a cinch. And I think that's true. When you bite off those small increments, 10 pounds is doable. If you're looking, you're 75 pounds overweight and you're thinking, I've got to lose 75 pounds, that is daunting. Mm-hmm. But if you break it down and you go for the 10 first, then that's great. And there are ways to do that and still enjoy life. And I think that you've always taught that, Becky. We do want that piece of chocolate from time to time, but a piece is different than a whole bar.
I think a lot of people come and they see me at the grocery store and they think, oh, I'm guilty.
Go to another aisle. There's Becky Moffitt.
Yeah. But I think when people, after talking with them, I try to erase that guilt and make it more reasonable and make it more realistic, I think.
I think you do that. I really do. When you talked about the color of your plate, I like that. And you gave me some information because you know that I'm always interested in this. And I looked at some of the things. It says color your plate with salad. Now, you and I know that that's good fresh stuff as a rule. And I know that I just leave iceberg lettuce off of my plate totally. I want those nice greens. But I see things on here that I've never eaten. And that gives you an opportunity to stretch yourself, to try something different rather than get in a rut.
Right. I think getting in a veggie rut is one of the reasons why people don't eat vegetables. They get tired of eating salad over and over and over and over. And I think one thing that you can do to kind of get out of that rut is, I'm a list maker. So if I have lists of the different colors, you know, what is a purple vegetable or fruit? What is a red? And go through the rainbow and then try to pick a fruit or vegetable from each color group. And try to choose different ones every time I choose an orange vegetable or fruit. It's going to be different. That kind of eliminates some of the monotony of having the salad every day, which is no fun.
You make it sound fun. And when we actually teach our children that, they will not reach our age and have this dilemma. And all vegetables and fruits are not created equal, are they?
No, yes and no. I really think that back to children, they like what's familiar. And I think it's so important to, you know, if you just say, oh, I don't like that, try it again. You know, I think on average, at least 3 times before you shelf it. But I've heard even more times than that, haven't you?
Yeah, and trying it in different ways is another really important thing to think about.
Well, there's 2 things I want you guys to address today, if you will, because of late, I was real surprised. I love carrots. And I found out from a physician, they said, you should not eat many carrots. And I said, really? They said, they're not your best vegetable. And I also was told not to eat too many bananas. Then I picked up an article in a magazine, and it said, bananas are making us fat.
Those bananas. My goodness.
I don't know if I agree with that, with either one of those. I think carrots are very high in vitamin A, and they're high in fiber, and I think they're good for us. So, I mean, spinach is always going to be up there at the top, one of the, you know, the dark green leafies. But I think carrots and sweet potatoes, you know, anything orange, you know, you're going to get lots of good nutrition from any of that. And what was the other one that you had said?
Bananas and carrots.
Bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah,
from my perspective, I think both of those are really good sources of nutrients. I think one thing to always think about, whether it's vegetables, fruits, whatever you're eating, portion size is an important consideration. But I don't think, I've never really thought that bananas or carrots would be a culprit for weight gain necessarily, unless we're eating tons and tons of
bananas
and
carrots. Usually it's with juice. You know, if you juice them, then you can get too many. But, you know, just actually eating an orange or eating carrots, it's really hard to overdo. I did meet someone once who was a bit orange from eating too many carrots. It's possible, but it's very rare, you know, people that eat a whole bag every day, you know, at least a pound or two. That's what it takes to overdo.
That would be a whole lot of eating, and I can tell you that would be a lot. But I think that most of this comes from people that do not believe you should have many carbohydrates, that you should have a watch over that.
Oh, you're thinking of, I think the carrots and the glycemic index is what you're thinking of. But that's all based on 100 grams, which isn't a realistic portion for different things. It's not always based accurately on what we actually eat. And so I like to look at more the whole meal. And usually when I evaluate people's diets, I don't even look at one meal. I like to look at a whole week, because no one's perfect. Like I said before, there's a lot of gray area, and you have to look at not only what you're eating, but how often and how much. That, all of that together is what makes a good diet.
Becky, I appreciate that you share that, because a lot of us do not know what to do. As I have said, we read so many things, we're conflicted, but realistic is a word that I heard you say, and I think that's what we really need to pay attention to. Now, I'm going to put you both on the spot, because I know that Becky, I've known her for years. I know she has a family. What is your favorite meal?
Oh, boy.
I didn't say favorite healthy meal. I said favorite meal. If you could have anything that you wanted to eat at all, what would it be?
My mom makes the most amazing bean burgers. They're incredible, and they're not necessarily the most healthy thing. They have lunch and puts this spicy chipotle mayo on these sourdough buns, and it used to be my birthday meal. She would make us a birthday meal, and that was always my birthday meal. So that's my favorite meal. I would love to have that tonight. I go to bed that tonight.
That is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Did that give you some time to think of your
favorite?
It gave
me some time to think, yes. We get a lot of variety at our house. I love homemade pizza. We do homemade pizza with a lot of different, toppings and stuff. And, of course, I love veggies. I love them. I'm just one of those people that if I could choose, I choose fruit over just about any food there is. I love fruit in season. I also love homemade bread.
Yeah. Ask you guys, because so often when I said you could see Becky Moffitt in the story, run to the other aisle right quick. She's probably looking at your basket. Of course, that's the farthest thing from your mind when you're shopping. But a lot of times people worry about that. They think that you have the perfect answer, that you never do anything wrong. And what I hear from both of you is it is about moderation. It is about maybe doing something that is a little off the charts now and then. Just now and then, we are going to enjoy the birthday cake or the birthday pie, if that's what you prefer. But you mentioned something that I absolutely love, and it's so healthy for you. I love sweet potatoes. I think they are amazing. They just taste so good to me. And of course, being a Southern girl, we had a lot of sweet potato pie. And I can guarantee you it probably wasn't as healthy as the plain sweet potato. But you have a way of helping everyone make meals healthier. So if we go to the website, or do you have classes available for people where they can find or get recipes from you guys?
Well, we're a resource. We encourage people to call us if they have questions. Right now, I don't think we have any classes set up.
Not currently, no.
But we did last year do some cooking classes. We'll come back to that, hopefully.
So. Well, I thought I saw that. So when you do, will you let me know so that we can share it with our listeners? Because everybody's looking for something different. I think we've gotten in a rut. But now, of course, traditionally people eat the warm things in the winter, like soups and stews. And now we are very hopeful that spring is just before us, and we're looking forward to those salads, to those fruits. We're looking forward to the watermelon and the melons that are out there, all of those wonderful things that are in season, which is, I understand, what we should do is eat the food that's in season.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I do agree with that so much.
Well, how do we get in touch with you if we have questions?
My phone number is 928-537-6548. And I do have email as well. I think it's easier just to go to the summithealthcare.net website, and then you can pull up the dietitian.
Well, I want you to know, Stephanie McGinnis and Becky Moffitt, you have given us good information, and you have kicked off National Nutrition Month, making us aware, because I think everybody starts thinking about it the first of the year when we're thinking that four-letter word, D-I-E-T, and then we kind of fall off the wagon. But by spring, we know that bathing suit season is right around the corner, that we're going to be going to the lake or to the ocean or wherever, so we need to get ourselves back in shape. But I love that you have left us with the feeling that moderation is good, and that now and then it's okay to have that treat.
Definitely.
Well, I want to thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to The Pulse, your connection to the heartbeat of the medical community, bringing you the latest healthcare information, newest technology, and up-close and personal interviews with the physicians and employees who serve Summit Healthcare Regional Medical Center. Thank you for joining us.